Alabama faces off against Maryland tomorrow with somewhat of a hampered Brandon Miller. How worried should everybody be?
Locked On Bama, your daily podcast on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me. Jimmy Stein, that's him. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel, and we appreciate you making us your first listen when it comes to podcast. Jimmy, Brandon Miller got a strained groin. Feels like it might be kind of an issue. Maryland's not a bad ball club. How worried would you be if Brandon Miller is only 19 minutes healthy like he was in the first game tomorrow?
Oh, I would be really worried if we knew that going in, that Brandon's not going to be available for the full 40 minutes, that if he could only play half speed half the time. I'm not worried about that as we record the show anyway. I don't believe that Brandon's hurt too badly. For instance, he did start the game. While he didn't score, he rebounded well. I thought there was good effort on his part. I think if Brandon had a serious injury, we would not have seen him at all on Thursday against a Corpus Christi team. If it was a bigger deal, I think they would have rested him for Saturday in Maryland. So I'm not concerned right now. Now, that could change, but I think he's going to be fine. Now, if he is banged up, does Alabama have a chance? Absolutely they do. We've said all year on the show, Luke, that what makes this Alabama team great, what makes this Alabama team special is that it's not the Brandon Miller show. It's not just, hey, let's sit back and see how far Brandon can carry the team. Lots of guys step up. It's a good team without him. Controversial to say, it's an NCAA tournament team without him, in my opinion. Now, is it a threat to win the national championship without him? Absolutely not. To win the national championship, to win games beyond the Sweet 16, you will absolutely need Brandon Miller. But, you know, based on what little I know, I'm not overly worried about his availability for Saturday, nor how healthy he'll be. I think he's fine.
I think you're right. I do happen to have somewhat of a connection that I cannot go into, and I feel like it's a little better than people think. Honestly, I feel like everybody read way too much into his scoring 0 points. Now, he did score 0 points. I mean, that sticks out like a sore groin. I'm sorry. That came to me, and it was just it's a terrible joke.
You were gonna go with thumb, and then you thought this is a segue into a joke, and
That's exactly how that went down.
Yeah, it was fine. I think it was okay for jokes. It didn't score 0 points like Brandon, but it was, you know, a few points like Gurley. It was a Noah Gurley level joke.
It fouled out early. I saw some folks, and I was on a couple of shows here recently. One in Mobile last night, and they were like, so do you feel like, all the controversy swirling around Brandon Miller led to 0 points today? I said, no. What led to Brandon Miller scoring 0 points today was that everybody else seemed to catch fire. And Brandon Miller is not a selfish player. I said it in the last podcast. He didn't take a shot in the first half against Arkansas when we were in Arkansas. And he only scored 8 points all from the charity stripe against Houston. This isn't a guy that is, is like, I've got to get my shots up to get in the feel of the game. Brandon's always in the game. He had some nice rebounds. And everything else was kind of going. And Alabama was up big for the most part. So he wasn't really needed. Now, Brandon Miller's always needed, but he wasn't necessarily needed for this game. Now, I think we can beat Maryland without Brandon Miller. I think it'll be a tighter game. I would certainly prefer to have Brandon Miller on my team healthy at any time, always. But I think it's going to be crucial. Now, I was checking out Maryland here. One thing that I noticed is they do seem to have some road woes. And the one thing about playing in Birmingham is obviously I feel like it's going to be somewhat of a road trip. Now, let me say this too. before I call this just an overall road trip, I've been saying this the whole time that, like, I thought, you know, Legacy Arena was going to be crazy packed for Alabama and Auburn games, and it was just going to be nuts. It didn't seem that way, at least on TV. I didn't go. And I saw some Auburn people talking about, I was so proud of their crowd. I was like, I saw tons of empty seats. I'm talking about good seats. Now, maybe those were Alabama fans who bought the tickets and didn't show up for the round or whatever. But I saw a lot of empty seats in there. And so I'm wondering if there could be some empty seats for both sides, like Alabama fans who don't show up for the Auburn game and Auburn fans who leave after their game is over and then have empty seats for the Bama game. So I'm wondering, yeah, it'll be a home court advantage for both teams in a sense, but it ain't going to be like playing in Coleman or Neville Arena. So it's not quite as much of a home court advantage as I thought it was going to be. Frankly, I'm a little disappointed. That being said, I'm looking back at Maryland and starting when they were at Michigan State about midway through the year, maybe towards the second half of the year, they lose at Michigan State. They lose at Nebraska. They lose at Ohio State. They lose at Penn State. And so they've got all those losses. The last time they won a road game was at Minnesota, and they blew them out, but Minnesota is putrid. They lost at Purdue. They gave Purdue a good fight, but they lost there. They lost at Iowa. They lost by 14 there. They lost at Rutgers. They lost at Michigan. Gosh, when I'm saying all this, I'm just now realizing the only road game they won in the Big Ten this year was at Minnesota, who's god-awful.
That's super interesting. And, I picked up on a little. I didn't break it down as well as you did there. But, yeah, I did pick up that they, you know, certainly play better at home. Now, they do have a big road win. I believe they have a road win early in the year at Miami, which is real impressive, unless that could have been in a neutral site tournament, but I don't think so. I think that was at Miami. But I'm with you, Luke. I didn't feel – I watch on TV like you. I didn't feel like Legacy Arena was a hostile environment for Texas A&M or for Iowa against Auburn. I didn't feel it was a hostile environment. I felt like the vast majority of the crowd was cheering, for Auburn, for Alabama, but I didn't feel it was anything like the home court advantage you get in Tuscaloosa or Auburn. Not saying it's not an advantage, not saying that Houston and Maryland don't have a right to feel like it's a road game, but I'm with you. I don't think it's a huge factor. I think Miller's groin is a bigger factor in the outcome of this game than the fact they're playing it in Birmingham. And I think the biggest factor that's going to affect Auburn's game with Houston is Marcus Sasser's availability. He's playing or he's not. If he's not, you have to sort of think Auburn's got a real chance to knock Houston off. I think the health of those star players are going to dictate the outcomes of these games. I think Alabama can beat Maryland without a healthy Brandon Miller. I do think they can. But, gosh, a healthy, full-on Brandon Miller, and I think Alabama's got an 85% chance to win the game, frankly. A dinged-up Brandon or a Brandon that's not playing, I give Alabama a 55% chance to win the game. So that's how big it is to me.
I'd probably go more like – I like your 85, but I'd probably go something more like 65 at least. I mean, on the other one, right? I mean, that 55 seems like almost like a coin flip. Now I'm looking at the ESPN predictor, and they've got Alabama essentially an 80% favorite to win that game. So we'll talk about this in just a minute, but I need to tell everybody about FanDuel. You can see it right there on the scroll on the little crawler thing. FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel.com/locked on, FanDuel.com/locked on. You will love this website with NCAA tournament in full swing. You've got to go check them out. NBA is also in full swing. It's past full swing. It's almost on the other side of the swing. Go check out FanDuel.com/locked on because new customers get that no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it's super easy to use. You can bet on the money line. You can bet on the spread. You can have a parlay. You can have a teaser. You can do player props with player points and rebounds and assists and so many other exclusive bets like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes or something funky like that, if that's what you're into. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlays. You don't want to miss this chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to fanduel.com/lockedon. That's fanduel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Jimmy, let's talk about the overall bracket here for the South, because it is quite interesting as I've got it right in front of me. And you got, you know, obviously Bama moves on, and so they'll face Maryland. San Diego State will take on Furman as Virginia is out. And look, I'll tell you something. Tony Bennett at Virginia is getting so little respect right now. People are like, I hate it when folks are like, that national championship was a fluke.
What?
Look, if you want to say that Gene Chizik was, or maybe Larry Coker, because of the certain players they may have had for those particular years, okay. I think it's a lot tougher to call one in college basketball a fluke, though. Because, boy, the only time I can remember there was a true one-man show in college basketball, somebody may correct me, is Danny Manning and the Miracles back in, like, 88. I mean, that was bananas because Kansas really wasn't that good, and Oklahoma had beaten them several times that year when they faced off in the championship. But regardless, I mean, I just think Tony Bennett's catching way too much heck, and I would certainly – this is what's wrong with basketball. He's won, like, all these conference championships, won conference tournament championships, been number one seed, won a national championship, and people are like, yeah, but he's kind of a bum. What the hell is wrong with y'all? Baylor just got a win, so they'll move on. We're waiting on Creighton and NC State. That's a good ball game right now. How about Missouri? They're going to get to play Princeton. Arizona's out of the bracket now. When we cut our last podcast, we were like, well, we're waiting to see what Arizona Princeton's going to do. And Jimmy had Arizona winning it all.
My bracket is now a character in the movie this summer, Oppenheimer. It's been atomic detonated day one. It's bad. And it's not just that I had Arizona. It's that, this has been a rough year for me. And the, once again, a good reminder of why I don't actually wager big money on the games. This is why.
By the way, I picked Arizona to win it all when Buffalo beat them. I think that was a 15-2 or a 14-3, and Nate Oates was the coach. So, I mean, you want to talk about Ireland.
Nate Oates took your money that year. That's funny.
Yeah. So, what's good is, you know, Baylor's the 3 seed. They're left, but the 4 and the 2 are out. Missouri gets to play Princeton. I love the idea of Missouri making a bit of a move, helping the SEC out. The SEC went 5-1 yesterday. I just heard this on the radio coming in. The SEC tied a record for most wins by one conference on a single day.
Wow.
Set the record.
That dang A&M. A&M lost twice. Lost Alabama, lost Penn State. I'm sure they love that joke, just like we love when UAB loses and somebody tries to, you know, peg it on Alabama. But yeah. No, great showing by the SEC. Absolutely great. Mississippi State lost by a single shot in the first 4 game against Pitt. But other than A&M played bad. Other than that, how about the fact Missouri stands a good chance of being in the Sweet 16? I'm not sure a lot of us saw that coming before the tournament started, a Missouri in the Sweet 16, but that's exciting. What if Alabama and Auburn both win tomorrow? Then people will be talking about, you know, what a fun matchup that could be down the road. But really, Alabama just needs to focus on Maryland. Maryland's going to be a huge challenge. Even with Brandon Miller at 100%, Maryland's a challenge. With Brandon dinged up, it's a bigger challenge. Good team, well coached by Kevin Willard, very physical. They're going to try to control tempo. They want to slow down slugfest a little bit. I mean, I think Maryland's going to feel like, you know, we can beat Alabama 66-62, but we can't beat Alabama 88-84. So they're going to try to slow everything down and try to control tempo. I think Alabama can beat the tempo by controlling the rebounds, controlling the boards, and running some fast breaks off a big rebounding effort. That's what I, I hope to see from Alabama Saturday. And yeah, Alabama could be the beneficiary. Luke brought up a lot of it. Alabama could be the beneficiary of a bracket that's sort of parting like the Red Sea for Alabama. But man, when we get to the Sweet 16, if that happens and people think it's great that we're playing a San Diego State and not a Virginia, I'm going to be pointing out that, you know, San Diego State's probably pretty good or they wouldn't be standing there.
Yeah, shoot, I'd say the same thing about Furman. Yep. I mean, if they get to the Sweet 16, it is what it is. And let's also remember last time we were in the Sweet 16, a double-digit seed. I know it was UCLA, and I know they went to the Final Four, but they put us out, a double-digit seed.
So. Yeah, yeah, we thought we were getting a break playing UCLA, and they beat us and made it to the Final Four. So, and I would I've been comparing this team to Providence, but San Diego State could be playing the role of Providence here, you know, who knocked Alabama out one year, you know, when they were coached by Rick Pitino back on one of the great Alabama teams, just like this one.
In Louisville.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Now I'm scared. Now I'm not sure I want to beat Maryland.
Jimmy, you might turn it. You look white as a ghost. Literally.
I wasn't sure about the situation behind me there. I didn't think it would light up like it did. We get some bad weather down here in this part of the state. You probably do too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It is interesting though. I do hope Birmingham's hopping. By the way, if anybody's out there and they're like, God, I got just an extra ticket and I don't know what to do with it, tweet your old buddy Luke. He's sitting here like a bump on the stump in Birmingham, and he has no ticket as of this moment. I have given much consideration to buying a ticket, but I did just also buy 4 tickets for the Phoenix Suns versus Philadelphia 76ers next Saturday night, because I'm going to be out in Phoenix with my son at Arizona State, and we're going to go out and visit him. So anyway, if you got a whole ticket burning a hole in your pocket, if you got 2 of them, then your boy Jimmy would probably drive up, I'm sure. You won't? Can't do it.
Nope. Long story. Nope.
Okay. Don't tell it. I'm in trouble for telling stories on this podcast.
It was super. And particularly ones that aren't too funny. This one's not funny enough.
I.e. all of them. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk just a little football. All right, so Tony Mitchell arrested. We don't know much more. Here's the best news for Tony Mitchell. It happened on the getting arrested version of a news dump. I mean, because when you get arrested the morning of the NCAA tournament beginning, it's just not going to get a lot of traction. And it hasn't, especially when Alabama and Auburn both win. You know, those are the two teams that would – the two programs, fan bases that would talk the most about this arrest of a five-star. And since both of them are winning, then – neither one of them have really talked about it a ton. We don't know anything more now than we knew the other day. It doesn't feel like. But I'm wondering, I know the coaches are quote-unquote off right now.
Right.
But they should be back soon, and I'm wondering if there'll be some kind of meeting or something maybe Sunday or Monday.
I think there's an excellent chance, not knowing anything for sure. But, see, a lot of people don't think about this, but, you know, this is spring break for the University of Alabama. This week, the university's on spring break, and obviously Tony Mitchell was headed in the direction of Panama City Beach when they were pulled over and he was arrested. The team is on spring break. Coaches do the same thing. The coaches are on break. They're on vacation. Most of them are gone. A couple of them usually hang around or stay behind, but most of them are gone. Coach Saban is very likely at his Florida home this particular week, and they will all return to Tuscaloosa on Saturday and almost certainly meet for long meetings on Sunday, because practice starts on Monday. I think there's a good chance when you add 2 and 2 together, not knowing, but I bet there is a meeting Sunday with Coach Saban and other members of the Alabama staff with Tony Mitchell and his parents. Good chance that meeting would happen Sunday because, again, everybody's gone. It would have already happened by now under other circumstances. So, you know, whether Alabama releases a statement, you know, Coach Saban loves to keep these things in-house. I don't want to guess what's going to happen. I notice a lot of people online, on message boards, on social media, Luke, saying he's going to get kicked. It's a felony. He's going to get kicked out for sure. I think that's assuming way too much. Coach Saban is big on second chances and even third chances. He's big on fixing the problem. If there's a problem, this kid has a problem, let's fix it. He's really big on that. So I'm not assuming at all that Tony Mitchell is going to be removed from the team and from school. I'm not assuming that. I do think it's a possibility because this is not a typical arrest. This is not a marijuana possession arrest. This isn't a DUI. This isn't a, hey, they got, you know, in trouble on the strip with some sort of drinking thing. It's not something like that at all. This is a really serious offense. And because of the seriousness of the offense, I won't be shocked if he's removed from the team. I think this is one that we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think anyone that's rushing to an assumption one way or the other could end up being wrong here.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And also, we should all be learning a lesson from this Brandon Miller thing. We've said that over and over and over again. And there's another article out from a Tuscaloosa paper. Is it called The Patch?
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know too much about that newspaper. I wish I knew more because the guy that is covering it for The Patch, I mean, I've not read what you're referring to. Anything brand new, I haven't read because I'm on a trip. But that guy's done an outstanding factual. He's done outstanding factual reporting on this. And if he wrote something about it, I want to read it.
Yeah, and you caught me off guard. I muted myself to give you this room to rant, and then you just stopped talking.
And then I muted myself.
Did you mean to?
It's a mutiny. Is that what happens when we both
mute? Snap. This reminds me of our little Twitter back and forth today where I'm looking at like I've got brackets, you know, so a lot of people know on here my mom went through some cancer issue. She's fine. Everything's good. She got a great report today. Everything's good. Everything's great. That's not why I'm saying this, to get any sympathy or whatever. But so she filled out a bracket. I filled out one. My brother did. And the guy that sort of has helped her, you know, we hired somebody to just sort of help drive her around and, you know, this workforce before and sort of just help, you know, help out. She paid for him to fill out a bracket in this big group. And I was laughing because he chose, I looked at his bracket today, he chose Grand Canyon to go to the Sweet 16. And my brother and I were talking, I was like, yeah, that Grand Canyon team, it's got a big hole in it though. And then we just started going back and forth. And so we did that on Twitter. Your mutiny joke is a very good dad joke worthy of dad jokiness on Twitter. So, anyway. That's going to do it for today's podcast. So we will be back with an instant reaction pod, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. If I can stay up that late. Holy cow, 8:40. Give me a dang break, NCAA.
That is not, you know, that's typical time usually reserved for two West Coast teams at play. Or, you know, last night, for instance, UCLA played the latest game last night, which makes total sense. I was shocked by that time. I really thought Alabama would be more of a prime time game, or maybe the 11 o'clock game based on the fact of when Alabama tipped off Thursday as well as when Maryland tipped off. I was shocked at that tip time. I do not like it, although I guess we don't get a vote or they don't care, but I'm not about the, and if the Auburn game runs late, Luke, it could tip off at 9 o'clock.
Tell me about it. I mean, I am just I don't want to say flabbergasted because I feel like that's over the top, but I'm flabbergasted.
All our young listeners right now are like, boy, they are some get off my lawn guys. Boomers. When they call us boomers.
If it were socially acceptable, I'll say this for the thousandth time. If it were socially acceptable, I'd go to bed at 4:30 every afternoon. That's the way I look at life. Anyway, I'm just sleeping. I'm trying to sleep my way to the end. Anyway. All right. Roll Tide, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.